so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in five different locations, and our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about our church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
Well, once again, good morning, everyone. We are so excited that you're here with us to kick off the first part of this series. If I haven't introduced myself to you, my name is Pastor Jacob LeBlanc, the lead pastor here, the New Iberia campus. And let me just say this. If you thought it was an accident that you're here today, it was not. You might have thought that you showed up today because you were trying to soothe your wife to stop nagging you about going to church. Or maybe you thought, you know what, I've been hearing about these cool things happening at Our Savior's Church in New Iberia. Heard there was a big changeover, wanted to check it out. Let me tell you something, it doesn't matter why you are here for a reason. I genuinely believe that God has called you here today for a purpose, that what is going to be talked about today will help you in every aspect of your life. See, I don't know about you, but there are some weeks I wake up on a Monday morning and I'm like, God, just get me through this week. I believe the word that God has for you today will not just get you through this week, but it will get you through the rest of your life if you apply it. I believe that today there will be generational curses that can be broken off in this room today. I believe that you are here because God is going to deal with some things in your spirit. God's going to deal with some things in your soul that will take you from where you are to catapult you to where God wants you to be. Today, we are going to be talking about something that's very, very critical, and I'm so excited that you're here with us. We're kicking off a brand new series, like I said, called Anchored, and we're going to be talking about a couple of different things to be anchored in. We're going to be talking about being anchored in your emotions. We're going to be talking about being anchored in your faith. We're going to be talking about being anchored by dads, being anchored as a dad, being anchored for dads. And then our last message of this series, we're going to be talking about being anchored in baptism. And we're going to plan an impromptu baptism for anybody who wants to be baptized. And that's going to be a really, really fun service. Like I said, we're going to plan for it, but we'll see what happens. We're just going to play it by ear. I'm hoping to see a lot of people baptized because we're going to talk about the importance of that. And then the series after that, we're going to finish off that series and we're going to start a new series called Summer at OSC, where we're going to be talking. I'm excited about this because this is kind of how I learned how to preach, but I'm going to be taking a chapter by chapter approach to the book of Galatians. I'm really excited about that, an expository style preaching. But today, we're going to be talking about being anchored in your emotions. Emotions are fickle. Emotions can sometimes lie. Emotions, and I'll say it this way, I'm going to be real bold and say that if we are really honest with ourselves, emotions play a bigger role in our decision making than I think you and I would even admit. It does for me. It does for me. I'll be the first one to tell you emotions play a big role in my life. And sometimes I'm embarrassed to say it. Sometimes I'm proud of it because emotions can be good or bad. Emotions are not the enemy though. See, if you're honest with yourself, you think about when you had the last time you had a real big argument with your spouse or a real big argument with your friend or with somebody that you love. You might have said something or you might have done something to regret immediately what you've done. Anybody, just me? Am I the only one that's done that before? Your emotions led you to do something. Or maybe you got so excited about something, you were so pumped up that you made a spontaneous decision but didn't realize that it was going to affect other people in a negative way. You could have been excited about something. It's good. But it can cause you to do things that you were never supposed to do. See, last week, Pastor Jacob talked to us. Man, was that a good message last week or what? My goodness. Wow, that was for my spirit. Let me tell you. But Pastor Jacob talked about the difference between your spirit and your flesh. Talked about the spirit is something that God gives you when you're born again. God puts his spirit inside of you. But there's also the flesh side. That's your body. That's your physical body, your blood, your muscles, the tissues, your organs. That's your physical body. But it's also your mind, your will, and your emotions. Can I tell you something? Your emotions are not your enemy. Emotions are not the problem. The problem is not knowing how to understand your emotions, not knowing how to identify your emotions, and not knowing how to deal with your emotions. That's where our problems come in. And today we're going to get real practical. I had a hard time kind of putting all this together because emotions are a difficult thing to really nail down. But I felt like what we're going to do today is we're going to take God's word and we're going to figure out how to deal with our emotions. First, we're going to understand what they are. We're going to understand why we have them. And then we're going to understand how to manage them today. So we're going to get real, real, real practical. But do me a favor, open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark chapter 12. If you don't have your Bible with you, that's okay. I encourage you to bring your Bible, however you decide to do it. Some people like to use digital Bibles. That's fine. I'm completely okay with that. Some people like to bring paper Bibles. That's okay too. There's something about sitting in a church and you're hearing a bunch of pages. Like that, I don't know. Maybe that's just, I grew up like that. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Bring your Bible with you. I encourage you to take notes with your Bible. Some people like to write in their Bible. That's okay. Some people like to click on it. That way you can take a little notes. That's what I like to do. I like to click on the verse and then type a whole bunch of notes in my Bible app can do that. So, but bring your Bible so that you can engage with it. So this is what the Gospel of Mark chapter 12, verse 29 and 30 says this. This is important. This is huge. If we get this, this can set us straight. This is Jesus talking. He says, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel. The Lord our God is the one and only Lord. You must love the Lord your God. Say it with me. With all your. Okay. Two of those, I understand. I get it. They make sense to me. I get them. Love God with all your mind. I can do that. I can study about God. I can read God's word. I can read what theologians have said about God. I can read what the gospels say about God. I can get knowledge about God. That makes sense to me. I can read any book in the world and it can tell me about God. I get that. Love the Lord your God with all your strength. All right, I get that too. I can work hard for God. I can work my fingers down to the bone. I can work all hours of the day and I can work hard. That way at the end of the day, I'm exhausted, but I did it all for God. I get that. It's easy to understand. But there's two other things in here that I just don't get. I don't know if I like it. I don't think I like it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. I don't know how to do that. With all your soul. Wait, what? Does that even make sense? How do you love something? How do you love something you can't see with all your heart? How do you love something with all your soul? What does that even mean? Let me tell you what this verse means. This verse means that God doesn't just want you to love him with the things that you can do, but he wants you to love him with your emotions. So many times we like to take our emotions and separate them from what God can do in our lives. But the problem is your emotions are a part of you. You want to know why I know that? Because God created you in his own image. And because we have emotions, that tells me that God also has emotions. God has emotions too. I believe God can feel joy. He can feel happiness. I also believe he can feel pain. He can feel disappointment. And I believe that if we can manage our emotions, if we can understand that our emotions can be submitted to God and God can take care of them for us, I believe that's where we can find freedom. So there's a couple of things I want you to understand about emotions. Number one, we just talked about it. God has emotions. I believe he can feel hatred towards sin. He made you like him and he has emotions too. The second thing is this, our ability to have emotions is actually a gift. It's a gift. You might not feel your emotions as a gift, but I promise you it is. This is why I believe that. Remember, Pastor Jacob talked about the soul is your mind, will, and emotions. I believe your emotions is your soul trying to get your attention. Your emotions is your soul trying to say, hey, you're feeling something right now. Hey, you need to address this. Don't try to suppress this, but you need to address it so we can work on it and get better at it. We have to be able to say, you know what? I know I'm feeling really, really strong feelings right now, but I've got to figure out how to adjust them. How do I control them? How do I even identify them? What am I supposed to do with this? When you have emotions, it's your soul trying to get your attention for a reason. And I believe there's two extremes. There's two extremes. There's the, number one is there's the emotionalism, and this is the type of person that says, "How I feel is all that matters." How many of y'all know that person that's like, "Oh, but I just feel it. I just feel I'm supposed to do this with my money, that I'm supposed to buy this car even though I don't have any money at all. I just feel it in my stomach. I feel it in my heart." Don't point to anybody, please. No. I'm watching. But these people that just say, "You know what? Logic does not matter. How I feel is all that matters." But then you got the other side, the other extreme. The other extreme is called stoicism. And this is saying, "You know what? Feelings don't matter at all. It's all about logic. Forget about emotions. Emotions don't matter anymore. It's who cares?" In fact, psychologists describe them whenever they're counseling, professional counselors, they'll say, you've got gushers and you've got stuffers. The gushers are the emotionalists. "I've got to talk about my emotions. Everything that I feel is so important and it's going to guide me." And then you got your stuffers. It's like, "Yeah, I ain't talking about this. You can forget that. I ain't talking about this. I feel something, but it's going down there. If I don't address it, it's going to go away." Usually that's men and women. You got men who are stuffers. "Nope, not going to talk about it. I'm going to be a man. Men don't talk about emotions. We don't have to deal with this." And women are gushers. "We've got to talk about our feelings." Not everybody's like this. I'll give you a case in point. My wife and I are completely the opposite. I am a gusher. I'm an emotional person. "Hey, we're going to talk about this." Grace says, "Nope, uh-uh. We're not talking about this." "Nope, suppress." "But we've got to talk about our feelings." "Nope, we can talk about logic. What are we supposed to do here? What? This is, okay, if we do this, and this is going to happen, this is going to happen over here. But I don't feel like doing it." I'm telling you, it's funny, you know, gushers always marry stuffers. You notice that? It's always the opposite. Like, why can't we just be together? Let's all have feelings together, right? Let's just talk about our emotions. All the stuffers in the house are like, "We're not doing this. This is not what's gonna happen." But there's a difference, and here's the problem. Actually, it's probably not a problem. I would say this is more the solution. God intended for us to be together. God intended for gushers to get together with stuffers. They understand that it's not all about emotion and it's not all about logic. Sometimes there's got to be a blend. There's got to be a connection. See, what I love is that God gave us the book of Psalms to help us understand these emotions. We all have emotions. Whether you are a gusher or a stuffer, you have emotions. Stuffers just suppress them, and gushers just talk too much about them. But our emotions are important. Have you ever read Psalms and thought, "My goodness, this dude, whoever wrote it, David, is a schizophrenic"? Anybody else like one day he's like, "Oh Lord, bless me and my children in the loins of my youth." And then the next one he's like, "Lord, kill everyone. Just kill everyone. I want them all dead." Anybody else read? You know what? I could appreciate that. But you know why I think that's important? I think that the reason that's important is because God is telling us it's okay to have emotions. And both emotions are important, and we have to learn how to deal with them. This is why I love the book of Psalms so much. See, I believe that God uses the book of Psalms to teach us that emotions do play a role in our lives and how to deal with both positive and negative emotions. God's saying that all these emotions are legitimate. I gave them to you. So what I want to do today is take God's word and share how to deal with our emotions. How do we do that? Knowing how to deal with your emotions can make you a better friend, can make you a better spouse, make you a better worker. But why is it so important? Why is that so important? Why do I want to manage my emotions? And I'll just tell you from my personal experience, I'll give you a couple of things. Number one, because my feelings are unreliable. I don't know about you, but I told you I'm a pretty emotional person. 9 times out of 10, my feelings are wrong. It's not that they're not real. They're just wrong. They don't paint an accurate picture of reality. How many times have you said, I'm supposed to do this, I just feel it, and it turned out to be wrong? Our emotions can deceive us. Proverbs 14:12 tells us this. It says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. So many times we go the way of our gut, but it leads us down the wrong path. Just because you feel it doesn't make it true. The second thing I believe, I want to manage my emotions because I don't want to be manipulated. The worst feeling in the world is knowing that somebody has played on a weakness of yours. And for me, I know my emotions are a weakness of mine. So if I know that I'm easily susceptible to being manipulated. If I don't control my emotions, they will control me. And if I'm guided by my feelings, other people are going to take advantage of me. Proverbs 25:28 says it this way. It says, a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. Can I tell you something? A city with broken down walls is defenseless. It is susceptible. It is easily taken over. If we don't manage our emotions, if we don't manage the things that we feel, we are susceptible to being manipulated. See, when we talk about being born again, what that means is that we are being spiritually reborn. That means that God's spirit lives in us. The spirit of God is in us. And remember, we talked about the flesh and the spirit earlier. What happens is your spirit man becomes alive. But the problem is there's that old flesh man, or the flesh part of you that wants, we call it the old nature. See, remember, Jesus says, I will make you a new creation. I'll make you a new creature. The old is gone and the new has come. See, what happens is sometimes that old nature, my old nature, will creep up. Sometimes my old man, my old emotional man, my old weak man will creep up and say, I feel like we should do this. The problem is that's always going to lead me down the wrong path. Sometimes our old nature can rise up and it lies to us. And here's another reason. If I don't manage my emotions, I'm defenseless against the enemy. Satan's number one attack is through negative emotions. Think about it. You read the newspaper today, what is it filled with? Fear, anxiety, depression, hatred, doubt. Pastor Jacob said it last week. The first thing he hears whenever he listens to the news, breaking news, everyone is dead. There is no hope. And there are storms coming. It's fear. There's fear surrounding every part of who we are. Everywhere our culture is nothing but a fear-driven culture. This is the enemy's number one tactic. But 1 Peter 5:8 says this, stay alert. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. See, I believe the reason our culture is so inundated with fear is because the enemy knows that's the best way to get people knocked off course. If he can attack their emotions in a negative way, oh, then I got him, baby. But that's why as Christians, we have to manage what our emotions are. The third reason is this. I want to manage my emotions because I want to please God. I just want to please God. God cannot be God in my life if my emotions are my God. If I let my emotions determine my life, that means I have not given my emotions up to my God. That means there's something in my life that I have not surrendered and said, God, you can have this. Romans 8, verse 6 through 8 says this. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Get this. This is important. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. Wow. Your old sinful nature, the part that hasn't been submitted to God, will never obey God. And it never will. That's why, verse 8, that's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. If your emotions are driving you, it will never lead you towards God. That's why your spirit man has to be stronger. I don't want to be the one who displeases God because I can't control my emotions. And then the fourth thing, I want to control my emotions because I want to succeed in life. You know, whenever I'm looking to hire somebody, both here at the church and over at the school, we talk about two different things when we're looking for people. It's one thing to have a high IQ. Intelligence quotient is what that's called, IQ. It's one thing to be smart. You can have book smarts. But I tell you what I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody with a high EQ, a high emotional quotient. Somebody who can say, you know what, I recognize these emotions. Somebody who knows how to read somebody else. Because you can be as smart as you want to be. But if you can't read somebody else and understand, get through some of the junk that's going on in their lives, you will never, look, what is our purpose? To reach people and build lives. To be able to plunder hell and populate heaven. That's our purpose. To reach people for Jesus. But if all we do is try to debate with people, y'all, look, I'm about to, look. If all you're doing is debating with atheists and agnostics and that's all you want to do is fight with them, but you've never invited them to church or invited them into a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're not winning anybody. Who cares what you know? What's more important is who you know. There is no amount of debate in the world that can save anybody. But I tell you, you get them into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, getting them to know who can change them, who can change their situation, who can change their heart. It doesn't matter what you know. It's all about who you know. And if you have a high IQ, well, I can debate theology all day long. Well, praise God. I don't care how much you know. How many people have you discipled over the last year? How many people have you walked out of a life of darkness into a saving knowledge of Jesus? How many people have you prayed with to be born again? Oh, but glory, hallelujah, Pastor, I know the word of God. So? Knowledge without heart means nothing. You can have the knowledge of Jesus all you want, but if you don't love people enough to be able to help them walk out of their circumstances through the power of Jesus Christ, then you ain't got nothing. All right, I'm gonna go ahead and move on since, y'all, I'm telling y'all, understand that what this world needs is not more knowledge, it's more love. Jesus did not come to debate with those who are lost. He came to serve those who are lost. He wants to see hearts and lives change, to be in a relationship with him. This is why our emotions are so important. We're looking for people with high EQ to be able to see people where they are beyond their circumstances and say, you need something bigger than just intelligence. See, when you become born again, you're giving your heart, your mind, your strength, your will, all to be controlled by God. God wants to be the Lord of your emotions. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 2, it says it this way. It says, so live the rest of your life, your earthly life, no longer concerned with human desires, but consumed with what brings pleasure to God. Okay, Pastor, how do we do that? How do we change our emotions because they're so strong, they guide us, they lead us. It's so hard for me to make a decision without thinking about my emotions, without being dragged along by the things that I feel. How do I do that? The first thing you need to do when you're feeling strong emotions is name it. Name it. If you can't identify your emotions, then there's no use on trying to work on it. Here's why. You can't manage what you cannot identify. If somebody says, hey, I need you to manage $1,000 for me, or I need you to manage my money. Well, how much money do you have? I don't know. How are you supposed to manage something you can't identify? I can't manage your money for you. I don't know how much you got. Hey, I've got, hey, I need you to help me manage my time. Well, how much time do you have? I don't know. I don't know how much. You can't get better. You can't work on something you can't see. And check this out. Even if you think of yourself as an emotional person, no one is as in touch with their emotions as they think they are. I'll tell you, I have issues identifying what I'm feeling sometimes. I do. Sometimes Grace and I'll be in a conversation and say, hey, what are you feeling right now? I'm like, I don't know. There's a lot of things I'm feeling right now. I don't know if it's anger or love or hatred or I want to kick something. I don't know. I have a hard time dealing with that. I have a hard time identifying those things. But in Psalm 55:2, David says this, and I just relate to this so much. David says, My thoughts are restless and I'm confused. Y'all, I get that. I feel that on a spiritual level. I'm confused. My thoughts, I'm restless and I'm confused. But here are two questions that I think you can ask yourself when you're trying to figure out where this is all coming from, what these emotions are, helping identify them. Ask yourself this question: what am I really feeling? What is that doing? That's asking you to dig a little bit deeper. Sometimes this can hurt. Sometimes asking yourself, what am I really feeling right now? That can open up doors, emotional doors in your life that can sometimes be painful. So like somebody might say, I'm feeling down today. Maybe I'm depressed. Depression is not an emotion. Depression is a result. So what are you really feeling? Where is this coming from? Did something happen today? So you got to dig down and figure out what caused it. Maybe your boss talked down to you or somebody mistreated you. Maybe your spouse didn't react to you like you thought they would. Maybe you didn't react the way that you should have and you feel some guilt. There's 8 basic emotions that everything falls down to. And I want you to write these down because they're big. These are the 8 basic emotions that you have to identify. Fear, anger, sadness, joy, disgust, trust, anticipation, and surprise. Those are the big 8. Everything drills down into those. Helping you identify those things can help you understand where you're coming from. Why is it that I'm feeling these things? What is it that I'm feeling? Helping identify it. Identifying what the emotion is can draw you back to a situation that caused it so that you can deal with it. But you have to ask yourself a second question. What triggered this emotion? So you might have found out what the emotion is, but now you got to figure out what triggered it. If you don't know which of these emotions give you the most problems, you aren't as in touch with your emotions as you think you are. If you say, man, I don't know what emotions I deal with the most. I don't know which ones affect me the most. I can tell you one right off the bat without even hesitating. I know exactly which emotion I deal with the most. It's fear. That's my biggest one. That's the hardest one for me to deal with. I make a lot of decisions, unfortunately, or I'm working on not doing this anymore, and I'll show you how in just a second, but I deal a lot with fear. Fear drives a lot of my decisions. Can I explain to you what that means? Let me tell you why. Everybody, I've shared this a lot with y'all, but before I came here, I had committed to a church in Destin, Florida. And the church that I was at previously, I had submitted my letter of resignation. I knew that God was calling us out of that season. We didn't have a promise of a job. We didn't know what that was going to look like. But the day we submitted our letter of resignation, we had 3 job offers right like that day, which was crazy. So went down to Destin and we met with Pastor Steve Vigalis from Destiny Worship Center. He is a spiritual father to me. I love him very dearly. And Grace and I went talking. Grace loves the beach. So I was like, well, this is a no-brainer, I guess. He told me about the job. I loved it. I was like, I'm on board. But can I tell you something? I made that decision out of fear. Men, I don't know if y'all are like this, like me, but I was very nervous. I was fearful. Like, how am I supposed to support my family? Like, I don't have a job. What am I supposed to do? Like, I can't just not have money. So I took one of the first jobs that came out and it looked good to me at the time. But looking back, I can see I made that decision out of fear. You want to know how I know? Because whenever I came back down here and I met with Pastor Paul, I'd always said to myself, if Pastor Paul ever asked me to do anything, I'm just going to say yes because I trust him. He's my pastor. He's my spiritual dad. I trust him. So when he came down and told me about everything that was happening, what he was feeling, what he and Miss Lynn were feeling for the last 3 years. In fact, I talked to Miss Lynn this week for about an hour and a half. She's doing phenomenal. Her and Pastor Paul are living their best life. They wanted me to tell you that they love you, that they say hello. But I knew that I would say yes if they ever asked me to do something. So going through everything, but I'll be honest, whenever Pastor Paul asked me that first time and kind of shared everything with me, I was disappointed in myself. Because I'd already committed my word. I'm a words person. I believe if I give my word to somebody, I'm going to honor that. So my first conversation was with Pastor Steve Vigalis out in Destin. And I said, Pastor Steve, I need you to walk me through this. Through a couple of different conversations, we ended the conversation. He said, man of God, you have to do this. This is not even, like, you are released from Destin. You need to go back home. It's time to go back home. And yes, God worked it out all together for our good, and I believe that this is where we're called to be. But how many times have we passed up a God opportunity for just a good one? How many times have we let fear or disgust or anger or trust, how many times have we let that lead us to maybe a good decision, but not a God decision? See, I was lucky. God's plan was still in place. But I believe had I trusted God more and not leaned on my own fear, I probably would have made the process so much easier for me. So I encourage you, figure out what your triggers are. Fear was a driver for me. And here's the thing, if you can't talk about it, it's already out of control. You ever have problems talking about some difficult emotions that you're dealing with? It's probably out of control. It's time to take control over that. Well, how do I take control over it? Speak it. If you can't talk about it, that means the devil's got it, because once it's out in the open, the devil can't touch it. Once you've spoken the things that you're dealing with, and this is why small groups are so important. Small groups are important because we have to have people in our lives that we can say, hey, you know what? I'm dealing with something right now. Can somebody speak into this? Am I crazy? Help me identify what the problems in my life are. Help me identify what these emotions are so that I can get past them. In fact, today we have a small group leader training because we're launching small groups next week. If you want to be a small group leader, so maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I don't have any problems acknowledging my emotions. I'm phenomenal. Oh, good for you. That means you need to be a small group leader so you can help somebody else. Maybe you say, you know what? I am a mess. I am messed up. I can't control my emotions. I can't control anything. Great, then you need to be in a small group. I don't care where you are today. You need to be in a small group. Whether it's leading, and look, don't think about leading small groups as like this, oh, well, I've got to be holy. I've got to have a vast knowledge of the theological. No, who cares? Who cares? Be somebody that loves other people. That's all. That's what it takes to be a small group leader. Loving somebody enough to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to cut out an hour of my week so I can spend time with you, so I can help you. That should be in a small group. Right after this service, right after the 11:30 service, in our dream team room, there's going to be people right there ushering you in. Just a real quick leadership training to get you prepared for it. Okay. If we can't identify it, we can't fix it. And I'll say it this way. I can't tame it until I name it. You can't deal with something until you can identify it. The second thing is this. Once we've named it, we have to challenge it. We have to challenge it. Challenge your emotions. Don't automatically assume your emotions are correct or reality. So many times we have these emotions and we take them as truth. This is why our nation's so messed up. Oh, but I feel I should have the right to do whatever I want to do. Yet your feelings are wrong. They're just wrong. They're not reality. It is healthy to understand that we have a moral code that our nation was founded on in Scripture. And the more we diminish that, the further down the wrong path we'll get. I'm telling you, emotions can change. They're wrong. What I love about David is that he often asked God to challenge his emotions. In Psalm chapter 26, verse 2, it says this, put me on trial, Lord, and cross-examine me. Test my motives and my heart. This is important because God knows what we're feeling even when we don't. Ask God to help you challenge your emotions. Let me tell you something. If you ask God to give you patience, God will give you opportunities to allow you to practice patience. If you have a problem with anger, God will provide an opportunity to test that anger in you. Maybe by having someone who is riding your rear end all the way down Admiral Doyle passes you up, then as they pass you up, they give you a finger. And then you follow them all the way until West Liberia. But God will give you opportunities to challenge the emotions that you feel. Because God knows that he can handle the things that you give to him. But until you give them to him, he can't help you challenge them. It's up to us to give them to him. We aren't bothering God when we ask him to help us out. God puts people in our lives to talk things out with. How many people have you given permission in your life to ask you the hard questions? How many people have permission to be able to say hard things to you? Job had that. Job had a man in his life named Eliphaz. And he challenged Job on his feelings. Look, if anybody had a reason to get emotional, it was Job. My goodness. You ever read the story of Job? It is ridiculous, all the things that he lost. But he had somebody in his life that was there to challenge him. This is what he said in Job chapter 15, verse 12. His friend asked him this: why do you let your emotions take over, lashing out and spitting fire? You ever have somebody say, why are you yelling at everybody? Quit yelling. Why are you getting so mad at everybody? Calm down. Shut up. You got to have people in your life to tell you to shut up. Give them permission to tell you to shut up. Give somebody permission, and maybe this is just for me. This is how I feel love. Give somebody permission to slap you behind the head. That's how I feel love. So again, that may not be your love language. That's mine. I got people in my life that will slap me behind my head and say, get your mind right. Yes, sir. I love that. Maybe it's abusive. I don't know. Maybe I'm a little crazy. Maybe that's why I'm like I am. I don't know. But find somebody in your life that can ask you tough questions. Well, what kind of questions? That's a great question to ask. I believe that if you have somebody that is allowed to speak life into you, or even you're allowed to speak life into somebody, they should be asking you three questions. And I want you to write these down. They should be challenging you, or you should be challenging other people. What's the real reason I'm feeling this? What's the real reason? Let's get real with it. Is the real reason I'm feeling this because my husband just said something to me that my dad always said to me that caused me to unleash the wrath I had pent up against my dad on my husband? Is the real reason I'm feeling this because I can't allow myself to be fulfilled because I don't feel like I deserve it? What's the real reason? The second thing is it true? Is what I'm feeling even true? Is it reality? So many times our emotions are not reality. And it's tough to face the truth of a situation when your emotions tell you something completely different. Elijah in the Bible had this. Elijah got real emotional. He said, God, am I the only one still serving you in this whole? I'm the only one, Lord. I'm the only one that still loves you. God was like, well, is that true? Are you sure about that? Then he said, look, brother, you tired? Go take a nap. He was tired. And it's true, though. There's four things you have to be aware of whenever you're feeling high emotions. In fact, it's an acronym called HALT, and I didn't have him put it up there, but it's called HALT. Are you hungry? Are you angry? Are you lonely? Or are you tired? Because there's a lot of things that can happen when those four things are happening. Are you hungry? Are you angry? Sometimes those two go together. Are you angry? Are you hungry, angry, lonely, or tired? If you are, then you need to halt. Don't make any big decisions. Don't make a fast reaction knowing that you're going through those things. The third question to ask is what I'm feeling helping or hurting me? Think about this for a second. Is it helping me or hurting me? Let's put a scenario in place, shall we? Let's say you're at a restaurant. You and someone else, could be your spouse, could be a friend, grabbing some dinner, grabbing some lunch, doesn't matter. 45 minutes goes by and your server still has not come to your table. Uh-huh, some of y'all are feeling that already. The wrath will be unleashed. But another couple walks in and they got their food in 15 minutes. Now y'all like, it is on. I need my food now. Think about it though. By you lashing out on that waitress, will that get you better service or worse service? Is what you're feeling really helping you, or is it hurting you? You have to be able to identify. You have to have somebody to be able to be there to ask you those tough questions. Once you've identified it, you've challenged it, now it's time to channel it or change it. I'm going to close with this last point. See, when we have an emotion that isn't getting us where we want to go, we have to do one of two things. We either channel it or we change it. Some emotions are so damaging and destructive that the only way to get past them is to just change it. It's causing so many issues in your life. The healthiest thing to do is just change it. And Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says this: you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And as cheesy and as Christianese as it sounds, sometimes we have to ask ourselves, what would Jesus do in the situation of the waitress? How would he handle that situation? What would Jesus do if somebody passed him up in a vehicle and he got flicked off? What would he do in that situation? As cheesy as it sounds, our job is to have the attitude of Christ. And if our emotions are the things that are taking control over us, then we can't act like Jesus. See, we have to dismiss any feelings that make us act less like Jesus. But sometimes there are emotions that we can have that we can actually use. Maybe you've been treated unjustly. Maybe something happened to you. Maybe you've been racially profiled. Maybe you've been overlooked for a promotion or an opportunity. The usual reaction to something like that is anger, right? Oh, I'm mad. How dare you treat me this way? How dare you profile me? How dare you pass me up for an emotion, a promotion? See, if you lash out, will that get you what you want, or will that make you act less like Jesus? But what if you put that anger into helping other people? See, what if you use that anger to benefit other people? See, if you use that anger for your own selfish motives, I'm just gonna lash out on people. I'm gonna mistrust people. I'm not gonna trust anybody anymore. That's called selfish anger. But when you do something to help other people, to say, you know what, I'm going to take what you did to me and I'm going to help somebody else so that nobody ever feels what I just felt today. See, what that's called? That's called righteous anger. Anger itself is not a sin. But how you react to it can probably get you in a moment with God where God's saying, hey, we need to adjust this. Can I tell you something? Even though I do love those conversations with God, I also really don't like those conversations with God. Come on, God, I don't want to, don't deal with this. That hurts. But God wants to take your emotions. But before he can take them, you have to give them. God wants to heal you of the things that happened to you, the circumstances that surrounded you, to cause you to do whatever, the things that you've done. God has a plan for your life. He understands that he made you with emotions, but it's up to us to figure out how to deal with them. And when you deal with them, we have to name them, we have to challenge them, and we have to channel it or change them for the purpose of being more like Jesus. But maybe you're here today and you haven't had the opportunity to give those emotions to God. Maybe you're here today and you haven't had the opportunity to say, all right, God, this is it. I know I've done all the things that I know to do in my own strength, but I need your strength to handle this. God wants you to give those to him today. Today you have that opportunity, but your first step is to be born again. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to ask you the most important question of your life. Have you been born again? Pastor Jacob, what does that even mean? The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 3, that unless a man is born again or a woman is born again, they cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, Pastor, how do I do that? I want to enter the kingdom of heaven. What am I supposed to do? Well, I think just because you have a physical birthday, you also have a spiritual birthday. Just like we were born once into this world, we're born once into our spiritual world. We become born again. And I remember for me, it was December 13th, the year 2000, right here in this building. In fact, where the kids are now, the pastor gave an invitation. He said, if you'd like to be born again, you have that opportunity. And I remember for me, it had nothing to do with my parents. It wasn't my parents' salvation. I didn't want to do it for them. I didn't want to do it for my friends. I didn't want to do it for my pastor. I knew that I needed to do it for me, that I needed to become born again in that moment. And today I want to give you that opportunity. Well, Pastor, what does that even mean? How do I do it? I think to be born again is as easy as A, B, C. A, we admit that you're a sinner. Admit that you've done some things wrong. Admit that you're not perfect. See, all of us have sinned. In fact, the Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I'm still trying to figure this whole thing out just like you are. I've made some mistakes. I'm not perfect. But the moment that we say, God, I'm not perfect, can you please perfect me in you? We are admitting that we can't do this without him. And then B, we believe. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that he came, born of a virgin, that he came and died, lived a sinless life, that he died for our sins, and that he rose again on the third day, and that he is who he says he is. And then see, we confess that Jesus is the one who can turn everything around. The way that we say that is, Jesus is the Lord of my life. We're surrendering every part of us, our mind, our will, our emotions to him. See, today you have the opportunity to be spiritually reborn. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I don't want to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to ask anybody to stand up in front of a bunch of people you don't know. All I'm asking is for you, if you want to be born again today, to just lift up your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. Hands going up everywhere. Thank you. One, two, three. Thank you. Four. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. And before I move on, I want to give one more opportunity, because I think there's probably a couple of people in here that say, you know what, I probably should have raised my hand, but maybe because of pride, maybe because of fear, maybe because of some things you've gone through, you say, you know what, I don't know if I can do this. But right now your heart's beating out of your chest because you know you were supposed to respond. I'm going to give you one more opportunity. If you already raised your hand, you don't have to raise it again. This is an opportunity for you to become born again. This moment can change your destiny, can change a generation, can change all the rest of the generations that come after you. If that's you and you want to become born again, I want you to lift up your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. Last chance. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Church, as a sign of family, can we just pray this prayer together, just all together as family? Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. And I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, you took my shame, you took my guilt, and you died for it. I believe that you faced hell for me so that I wouldn't have to go. You rose again on the third day to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, in a relationship with your Father. This moment I confess. This moment I believe that I am born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody said, amen. Can you give them a round of applause? That's incredible. Pastor Phil.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about our church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.